Welcome everyone to the EED webinar, Breaking Through Resistance. It is June 20th, 2017. And joining us on the call today, we have Bettina, Alexander, Carmen, Rasha. We have Bushra, Annabelle, Oyu, Brian, Jim, and Marion. And some more people may join as several people signed up for the call. So, welcome everybody. I'm glad that you're here. Some of you, is anyone not familiar with emergent essence dynamics? Well, I'll ask it that way, because I think some of you are already somewhat familiar or you've heard about it. Just raise your hand if you're not so familiar. Okay.
Okay. I'm good.
Good. Good to see you, Brian. I haven't seen you in probably 2 years.
Yeah, man. Good to see you. I was happy to see this pop up.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
I'll be very brief because I also, on the last webinar, explained briefly what EED is, and I just don't want to be too repetitive. I think maybe this time I'll explain it more through the theme of the call, which is about resistance. Emergent essence dynamics has three elements to it. First, we work with source being, who you are beyond ego, beyond personality or identity. So that's what we call your essence. Also, we're working with what is not just the essence of a person, but the essence of what's happening in the moment, the core truth of what is happening. And so EED has techniques where you get directly to the core of the person or of the moment so that you can pull out what's really trying to happen. And that is the emergent part. There's always things bubbling up. We're always in a process, a creative process, a process of evolution or transformation. And so rather than building towards a future or rehashing the past, we're being in a very synergistic relationship with what's currently happening in the moment. Synergistic meaning in tight relationship, like being in a state of co-creation, letting the moment influence us while we influence the moment, to really see what is the natural organic process of something that's trying to evolve or transform. Now, I'm explaining this differently than I did last time. That's great.
Yeah, I like it. Great.
So we're not just looking at what's the present moment, but what is currently evolving in the present moment and following it and allowing it to be in its natural process instead of trying to change, transform, force, or put things in a box. Because in that way, that creates resistance, unnecessary resistance is what I will say. This is why EED is working with what's emerging. It is not trying to change or transform anything. That is not our intention. Because if I am trying to change or transform what's happening now in the moment or who the person is in the moment, I am creating friction and resistance. I'm resisting a natural organic process that's happening with or without me. So if we're going to jump in the river, I need to get to know the water and how it flows. And then when I can become one with the water, I can actually begin to steer the water. But it's not me steering it. It is the water and me together, and we are creating something. So that might sound a bit esoteric. But when we're working with change processes, there is such a thing as artificial change and natural organic transformation. And EED is tapping into what's natural and organic. So to make it short, is before we change or transform anything, we are working on a level of acceptance. Acceptance of what is here now without the need to change. When we get to accept something, then we get to know what it's there to do. What's its function? What's it presenting us? What's it trying to teach us or bring out of us? So that leads to dynamics, which is everything is a dynamic process. We are in dynamic relationship with ourselves, with others, with the world, with the moment. And these relationships have particular behaviors, personalities, and we break that down into what are the main elements of a dynamic and how does it function and work to help emerge things from the source, so that the source is properly channeled as cleanly as possible, so we can manifest everything we want to manifest without artificial interference. Now, I've never explained it like that before. How is that sounding to you? Like, a little bit? Or is it okay?
Love it. I understand it completely. I take it in. Yeah.
Okay. What does that mean? I'm doing the training thing again. Yes. So, three main things we're doing is we are first, through acceptance, having people reconnect with their own core resilience. This means their ability to survive, bounce back, be adaptable and flexible despite all circumstances. They have that will to live and that creative spark. That's what we're constantly activating, and we're trying to emerge that from the person and put them in a relationship dynamic with it so they can stay plugged in to their creative source while they go out in the world and act. Without resilience, they have no foundation. That leads then to resistance. We look at resistance as a natural part of the creative process. So if there was no friction in life, there would be no evolution. If there's no spark, meaning a spark comes from friction, there would be no fire. Mm-hmm. So EED looks at resistance as the means to accelerate the creative process by accepting what resistance is out there and then trying to emerge from it what it's trying to make us pay attention to. That then allows us to create reconciliation with our fears, our obstacles, our relationships, ourselves, so that when through building resilience, through allowing resistance to be part of the creative process, we can facilitate a reconciliation with self, other, or the world. And it's through the reconciliation that there is a release or a liberation. And that is the greatest transformation that comes out of it. So that's why we don't go for transformation, because if we can go into a reconciliation of what's here, transformation will naturally take place and it will be far more sustainable. Now, this applies to many professions, coaching being one of them. This can be consulting, because consulting, you still need resilience and there's resistance and the person's trying to reconcile something, right? Through the, and same with therapy, same with conflict resolution. So there's many applications here, including healing, energetic healing, et cetera. It's because we're working with the human being as an instrument or a channel for accessing higher creativity, higher consciousness. So the applications go far and wide. Even this applies to sales techniques and having sales conversations. And I developed an application course for that. Any questions here on what you've just heard? I know I moved through that quickly, but either what sparks your fascination or what makes sense? Or is there a question?
Troy, can I just speak back what I think I understood just to make sure that I'm on the same page?
Mm-hmm.
So the first element is becoming very conscious of what's evolving in this moment so that I can accept it rather than trying to reject, fight, or change.
That's right.
And by then connecting to my inner resilience in this moment in what is evolving, I'm essentially creating my relationship with what is evolving.
Yeah.
And it is then I need to reconcile. Like, this is kind of, I think, where I'm losing it. It's like you're talking about reconciliation. So where is the reconciliation piece? What am I reconciling?
Right. And I'll only go briefly into this because I'm devoting the next webinar to the the whole concept of reconciliation. But it's going to play a part here anyways. So with, I'll get into it a little bit more when I'm talking at length about resistance and how to handle it and how to work with it. What you're really reconciling is your inner polarities, your inner struggle, where you're going back and forth, back and forth. It could be going back and forth between acceptance, non-acceptance, acceptance, non-acceptance. Like, it is not expected that you're going to totally 100% accept something in front of you immediately. You'll accept it a little bit, and then you'll go back, and you'll accept it a little bit more. That process of gaining more and more acceptance without feeling triggered or needing to modify and change things is the way to build the resilience. When there is a 100% full acceptance, and then you can create from it. That is actually more of what a reconciliation is. The reconciliation is the release of any need or fear of what is in front of you. So it's a release of need and fear. I'll come back to this more. Let me know how you guys are taking that, because reconciliation does not mean resolution. I'm not solving things. It's more where things can actually accept each, two things can accept each other.
Okay.
And be in creative relationship without needing to fight or have a tug of war or pull or try to win. So
it's accepting the dialectic of both polarities of the, I don't want to be in this moment, and I am perfectly resilient and okay in this moment.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah. And what actually happens is you collapse the whole polarity. Actually, the polarity then can become a unifying thing, a uniality instead of a duality.
I've read about that in Buddhist literature, but that's a little beyond me right now.
No, it's the great thing is, one, EED on one side is very pragmatic and practical, and then on the other side, it can be highly, highly esoteric. And it has many, many, many spiritual avenues to it. So you get the best of both worlds. And I don't talk to my clients about this, by the way, when I'm working with them. I just take them through the process. They feel it, experience, and they say, wow, what is this? Because when I take them into a process of either neutralizing their resistance, dropping them into resilience, or going further and reconciling something within themselves, where they're released of... Oh, here's the best way to talk about reconciliation. It's letting go of the baggage you've been carrying around. If you want to talk karma, it's like I've released the karma so that I no longer need to carry this with me anymore. That's why I call it, it's a liberation. Does that help you understand what I mean by reconciliation then?
But then there's no resolution needed anymore, right?
Right. Yeah, when you've released it, when you release the baggage, there is no, because you're not playing a game anymore. In fact, you've gotten off the game. Because game is about win or lose. It's a power struggle. Right? So resistance belongs in these polarity struggles, these games we play, the tug of war back and forth. And we can use that force that we're, you know, to go back and forth takes strength and force. We use that to convert that into more creativity and resilience. Okay.
Before you said something about reconciliation as being in a creative relationship without an analyst.
Without conditions. It's an unconditional kind of state of being. When I've reconciled something, then there's an unconditional acceptance. Now, how do we, can we achieve that? Yes, but how long does it take? Probably a lifetime. I'm not saying if you want to walk on water,
you mean?
What?
If you want to walk on water, like Jesus.
I know. Okay, so that's my brief thing. So what I'd love to hear from you guys is, there's so much information I want to cover in here, so I don't want to take too long, and I don't want to cross over into the next webinar too much. Let's back it up. Let's just look at resistance. What are the various forms of resistance you meet or that you run into? Let's just get a running list going. I've identified several, but I want to hear from you. What kinds of resistance do you run into? Which ones feel tough? Which ones do you really want to learn about?
Well, I think
Please, Bettina.
Okay. One I regularly met in with my coaching sessions is starting a session and the client is saying, well, there's nothing to talk about.
Okay.
Nothing.
And you say, what do you want to work on?
Nothing.
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 Okay. So I'm going to also include in that it's like nothing to talk about, lack of investment, let's say,
yeah.
Or indifference, okay, or the classic, I don't know.
And denial, is that the same thing? Because I have so many who are, I mean, you can see the issue and they're completely denying it. But yeah. It's not up to me to suggest, okay. You know? But.
Yes, okay, so I'm putting that one into a different class, just denial, yeah. Definitely, yeah. This isn't happening. No, I didn't say that. No, I didn't mean that. Yeah. That's not me. Denial. Good. What other forms of resistance are you running into or are curious about?
For me, it's the type of resistance where your client says, I don't want to try this, or I don't see the value in this. So okay. What's the point?
Yeah.
So like a refusal, just plain refusal or, okay, there might be another one in there. So it's refusal. What's the point? Meaning convince me could be that. Mm-hmm. Show me, like, show me what you got, this kind of thing. It might not be the same. Or what's the point? Meaning like explain this to me so I can get invested. Is that making sense?
Also in the sense of, I don't really see the value in this.
Oh,
I don't
really. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's a good one. Yeah. Don't see the value in. Okay. Also. Also,
just going to say
investment or commitment. But yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Brian. Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say. Also, that's lack of commitment, or however you want to put that. That's my saboteur says that. So sometimes it's the client, and then other times it's purely from within.
Okay, so yeah, so you can say, hey, are these my own saboteurs? Did I do something wrong? Is okay, good. And then just saboteurs in general from clients, but I mean, that needs to be broken down. Saboteurs is way too generic. It's just like we can lump everything under a saboteur. We need to break that down to know exactly. What are we working? Because saboteurs do embody resistance.
There is also backing off from commitments and promises. Like, I will do it, and then I didn't do it. Okay. I just didn't.
Yeah, just didn't do it. Backing off. Okay. Good. Anything else from you guys?
One that comes up for me sometimes, I don't know if this goes back on resilience, but it's almost a sense of a lack of resilience. So it's you're offering something to the client and like, I would love to do that is my dream, but I can't do it. Like, I cannot do it. I don't have it in me or whatever.
Okay, great. I can't. Yeah. And that's you can't, meaning you're not capable. You don't want to, or you will not. Right? That those are three different things: desire, will, and capability.
And related to what Jim is saying, this I can't, they're cyclic and they come back. And it's like, oh no, not this again. So here's the client's resistance triggering mine. Like, I'm getting bored with this topic. Like, you already did something with it. I thought you were improving. And what happened?
Okay.
You said you could last week and now you can't again.
Uh-huh. Okay. And so repetition. Repeating patterns, repeating. Yeah. Okay, great. There's some others that I've identified too. Your client is unclear, ambiguous, or unfocused, meaning they can be distracted. You're on to something, and then they're off. They're not really focusing, and they're a little bit all over the place, or they're very generic, very ambiguous. Well, they're not specific, really, right? Here's one I'm sure you guys may not realize it's resistance, but it is. Client is numb, or they don't feel. Or they refuse to engage in their feelings or sensations. Okay, those are forms of resistance.
But because it's too painful for a client.
Yeah, and there could be a million reasons why they are not engaging with the feelings or the emotions. Either they refuse, or they've cut out their awareness.
And the second for me was client says, don't know how to do it. Asking me how to do it.
Yeah, don't know how, yeah. And the I don't know is most often a resistance, and sometimes it's not. It's where you have gotten off track with their natural process. You may have skipped, it's like you skipped a beat or jumped too far ahead or jumped a different track, and you've created a disconnect, and then they will respond with, I don't know. I'm gonna talk about that, how to work with that. So the I don't know is sometimes resistance and sometimes it's not. Okay. The client can be suddenly blocked or they lose energy. Like you build them up. They're very resonant. And then you get them ready to commit or take action and all the energy is gone. They're blocked. That's a resistance. The client can be going in circles. You already talked about that. Or they hit an impasse where it's like, not going any further than this. That's it. Or where they just don't engage anymore. They're silent, they check out, or they stonewall. They just suddenly are completely withdrawn. Or they distract themselves. They keep sticking the focus. Here you are on one thing, and then they say, oh my God, there's a bird. Right? Oh. That's a resistance as well. So we got lots on the table here. I'll try and address as many as I can. But they all do lump under some particular behaviors. So what we need to look at first is what is resistant. And I've already mentioned what it is, but resistance is a persistent force. It is a force, meaning it contains creativity and strength. Now, that resistance can create friction, and it can feel unpleasant because it's working against what I want, or it's working against where I want to go, whether I'm creating it or I'm meeting that. So our normal reaction is we want to fight it, push it away, overcome it, go under it, around it, bust through it. We want to eliminate it. But all that does is feeds the fire. It's like throwing more fuel on the fire. So we end up aggravating the resistance. Now, when your client is resisting, you need to pay attention to not what they're doing, but where they're, two things. One, where they're coming from, and just pay attention to the pure energy they are using. It takes strength to resist. So the client is actually using their power and creativity to resist. They're just putting all that energy into the resistance, whereas it could be rechanneled into more creative, empowered energy. Now, so without resistance, we would not evolve. We would not be challenged. We would have no need to create. If we all lived in this kumbaya world of essence, where everything flows and is fluid, and everything is just fully full potential, feels great, we would have no need to create. What resistance does is it gives our creativity a spark, a push, something to push against, so the creativity can push back, so the creativity can be used, right? Is this making sense to you guys?
Yeah.
So when you're meeting resistance, you can recognize it. Of course you're going to judge it. You're going to say, oh my God, I don't like this. Or here we go again, resistance. And be okay with that. But then move into acceptance. The first thing you can do is accept what is here. Now, acceptance does not mean you need to like it. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. Acceptance means it is what it is. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, resistance comes up. You say, oh, there it is. Now you might think, oh, God, I don't like this. But then move beyond that and say, all right, it's here. It is what it is. Now, when you can find the resilience to be able to do that, you're already calming down the resistance, because you're giving it no reason to push on you. You're just allowing it to be exactly what it is. So when you just let it be, you can already start either building resilience, or the resistance might dissipate. Then you can refocus back onto resilience. But if the resistance is persistent, then there are ways we can work with it. And anyways, it still leads back to resilience. Let me know how you're doing with following me here. Just
good.
Okay. So where is resisting coming from? So we need to talk now about need and fear. Why would I resist something? Because I'm not feeling so resilient. If things aren't going my way, I'm one, not accepting what's happening. And why am I not accepting it? Because I'm not feeling enough. I'm not feeling like I can handle what's going on. That's down deep, deep, deep down inside. I might not be aware of this. And I might just be putting all my focus on, gotta fight this. Or I've gotta get away from it. Or I gotta go escape and seek something that feels better. Or I'm gonna cling to what I think are my strengths, and I might overcompensate and say, you can't resist me. I'm strong. That's a clinging energy, right? So we have four behaviors of resistance. We fight it, we fight, we seek or search for something better or more fulfilling, or we cling to what we think is already fulfilling. Clinging means like, I don't want to lose what I've got. Is that clear? And we swing on this pendulum. Now, what do need and fear have in common? Does anybody want to take a stab at that?
What was the question?
What does need and fear have in common? I'm just asking.
I'll throw it an answer for myself anyway. So a need, let's talk about a real need, like food, shelter, positive relationships. Those are things that we actually need to survive as a human being. Like, they are just fundamental to our ability to live.
Yeah.
Fear is the sense that I do not have what I need, or I might not have what I need in the future. So it's a awareness of sometime in the future, there might be a lack or a gap between what I need and what I actually have.
Okay, so you got it. They both have in common lack.
Mm-hmm.
If I need something, something is lacking. There's an emptiness, right? If I fear something, then I'm feeling threatened, meaning I'm not resilient. So I'm feeling empty. So need and fear come from emptiness, or what we call the void, all right? It's a total disconnect, a place of total disconnect. It's like I do not possess resources or anything. There is a total disconnect from resilience. Hi, Birgit. Welcome. Okay, so now, resistance, these four behaviors, it's like it's everything. What's holding resistance is it's coming from an emptiness. And we're swinging between fear and need, okay? I'm swinging towards, I need safety, and I'm swinging from, I fear danger, okay? So we're going between danger and safety. I'm fearing danger and I need safety. So what do? When we meet danger and we're in fear, we fight it or we run, right? Those are the two behaviors. If I push you closer to danger, you're gonna fight to stay away. And as soon as you get the moment, boom, you take off. You run from danger. That's like our reptilian brain, fight or flight, right? The other way, so when we're moving away from danger and we pass the safety zone, then we start thinking, yeah, but I need fulfillment. So I gotta search and seek. Now that can look like escapism or false fulfillment, right? When I get my million, when I get this, when I get that, then I will be happy. That's seeking. I need. Now, if I start to take that away from you, that sense of fulfillment away, you're going to try and grab it back. That's me. I need that. I can't live without that. That's clinging. That's the clinging behavior. Because if I take it away, I'm getting pushed back into danger, so I'm gonna scramble to get this thing back, right? So this is a polarity, swinging between the need for safety and the fear from danger. That creates a rebel victim mentality in us. So you're gonna meet two main kinds of resistance. The rebel is gonna fight or escape. Meaning they're going to fight or seek. Seeking meaning, okay, you don't want to fight? Fuck you. I'm out of here. I'll go somewhere better. That's the rebel, right? I don't need this. Fuck all of you. You guys understand? Sorry to use the language. this uses the behavior of they either flee or they cling. Now, you might say, well, what do you mean by how does a victim cling or flee? What fleeing can look like is they're avoiding, they're denying, they resign, or they run away. All what this means is they're not engaging with what's going on. Okay, that's the fleeing. They can literally run away, or they could stay right there and just numb out, shut down, right? This isn't happening, this isn't happening, this isn't happening, right? That's the flee side. The cling is where they get really, really stubborn. They stick their heels in the ground. It's like, why me? Why? I'm always suffering. Why is it always me, right? That's the kind of clinginess. That's the stubbornness. Or where they can overcompensate. Like, you know, you can't threaten me. Right? You guys following what I'm saying here? So the rebel is much more active. The victim can be a little more passive, but that doesn't mean victims aren't passive, right? They can get very, very, very stubborn when they start. How are you doing with this information? Okay. So this can help explain some of the various forms of resistance that you are running into, okay? Now, how do you deal with this? Okay, so one, if you get into needy resistance, okay, I need this, I need this, and they start clinging. Like, I need my values, or you know, I need my phone because that's my lucky talisman. You know, I need to connect all the time. So you test it, take it away, and see what's left. If they cling, you know you're dealing with resistant behavior. What we call they're running from need. This is especially helpful when you're getting what I call resonance. Somebody's really building up great energy. They're like, yeah, I can conquer the world. And yeah, you know, I feel so confident now. Yes, I can walk into my office, into my boss's office, and I can tell him exactly what I think. And if you take that away and say, well, you don't do that. Oh no, I must, because I've got to prove something. Right, then you know you're getting fear-based behavior. This is like a resistance. So what you can do is say, all right, connect with what you're feeling. Notice what it is. Let's peel it and discover now what's here. And you'll get reaction after reaction after reaction. You just keep peeling. So whatever they're resisting, put them in relationship to it, because that's the actual impact that they're feeling. Like, I need to stand up to myself because I do not want to be subliminated, or I don't want to be dominated, right? I don't want to be feeling like I'm a small child, weakness, can't have weakness. Okay, great. Now, come into relationship with weakness. What do you feel? Feel aggressive. Great. Where's the aggressiveness? Feel it for a moment. Feel it away. They're not ripping it off. They're just, it's like you're opening a box. You're just lifting the lid. You're not taking it off. But now what do you discover when you lift it? Oh, feel angry. Great. Where's the anger? Connect to it. Let's lift that. Now what's here? You can keep peeling away resistant reactions until there's nothing left to peel. And then they end up in the space of, huh, nothing here anymore. How do you feel? Pretty calm. Now you've got a doorway into resilience. And you can then rebuild the resilience. Then put them back in relationship to whatever they needed to do. The need's not going to be there so much. How is that sound, guys? Okay, I am going to do a demo. So, and there's another way. You could, if you have resistance, meet it head on, basically call the bluff. You can aggravate the resistance. Like, oh, I don't know if I really, I just can't do it. You know what? You can't. That's 100% true. You can't, and you won't, and you will fail. So forget it. What? What do you mean I can't? They'll bounce back with resilience. If you counteract the resistance, like call the bluff, you aggravate whatever they're swinging towards, you're going to get a spark of resilience. It's like they flip the curve. Is this making sense to you guys, what I'm saying here?
Troy, I just have one question. My fear personally over that, you know, a client says, I can't. Mm-hmm. Saying that I won't test this makes me worry that am I doubting their naturally creative, resourceful, and whole. But like, what happens if I say, you're right, you can't, you won't, you're gonna fail, so just don't even think about that, and they respond with kind of like, oh, you're right, like this just like complete.
Okay. This is very good. So now with EED, what we always do is we always follow up anything we say or do with their response. We want them to become aware of and be able to feel like they can respond. So we want to invite that response. So you just articulated their response. Like, okay, well, how does that feel? I feel so defeated. I say, and notice how quickly you swallowed my words. Notice how quickly you gave your power away. What is that like for you? right? To make them aware. And if you say, no, yeah, you're right, you can't, you will fail. Forget it. What's it like to hear that? Well, it doesn't feel true. So then what is true? Right? So you always want to get the response. So if you're calling the bluff, meaning you're aggravating, you're making 100% what they're saying. See, when they start giving these idle threats of, I can't, I don't know, they're going 50% on something. Take them all the way. If their saboteur is saying they're not worthy, make it 100%. Say, you're right, you are completely worthless. Now what happens when I say that? You see, the reason why people tolerate these saboteurs is because they listen with one ear and they close the other. You've got to get them listening and feeling with both ears to really feel the impact of whatever message they're getting from that saboteur. And then ask them, how do you feel about this? And you, I guarantee you, you always will get some kind of resilient spark. Or if they swallow exactly everything what you said, say, notice you swallowed it so quickly. What does that mean? Oh, because I'm nothing, I don't know who I am. Well, so you are nothing. And how does that feel? Oh, I guess you're right. Okay, now they're playing a game with you. Okay. So you say, fine, if you feel worthless, you are nothing. What is keeping you alive? This is another way to go straight through the resistance back to core reality. So everything is bad. So everything is going to shit. And you're still here. Are you breathing? What's keeping you alive? What keeps you here? That will automatically start flipping back into resilience. How is this sounding to you guys? One thing resistance will do is it wants us to keep believing the narrative, the stories, the dramas, so that they can keep covering up that core fear or core need. What we want is to go through that so they can either face head on that emptiness and they will build resilience, or drop into resilience. So either way, they're going into resilience. What are your questions here, Rain? Okay, I could move into a demo. I got so much here. I just want to make sure that I'm making sense to everyone.
It's making perfect sense to me. But today I had this client, I asked, so what is your heart saying? Because he's an engineer, very intellectual. He says, oh, I don't go when it becomes woo-woo like that. That was already woo-woo. So yeah. I'm thinking, oh my God, if I really start to do woo-woo, he's going to be in terror.
Yes. Okay. Now, that's a great case with somebody who's either not connecting with their feelings or not aware of feelings, or there's a stigma around feelings, right?
Yeah.
What you want is, if they have no feelings or they have a fear of emotions or connecting with emotions first, whatever they're talking about, make it much more specific, make it up close, make it personal, because they're going to get affected. See, a way to avoid feelings is keep things generic and at a distance and not personal.
Mm-hmm.
So if you give me, can you, like, what did you want that person to connect their heart around? Like, I don't need you to reveal a lot, but it's just like, what was the main point there? Where you asked him, oh, and what does your heart say?
I don't know. It was not even dangerous or...
No. Okay, well, I mean, it could be like, okay, so, hey, people on my team are generally unpleasant, but you know what? It's fine. It's okay. For example, that's disengaging from feelings. It's like, I'm not allowing myself to really feel what I feel here. And, you know, people are unpleasant, but, you know, I can figure my way around. I'm saying strategies. And if you say, well, what does your heart say? I'm like, heart? No. We don't talk about heart. Say, well, who on your team is unpleasant? I want you to see their face. And I want them to yell that unpleasantness in your face. How are you affected? Oh, I hate that person. Ooh, I just got a feeling. So bring it up close, bring it close. Make it so that's really specific. Like, see their eyes, see their face, see the words they're saying to you. Okay, hear it, and, you know, smell their breath while they're saying that. Right? They will get affected. Okay. That's one way to bring in more emotion. The other one is go to the body first. Don't go for the feelings. Go for the physical sensations. Go for the physical gestures and movements. Through the body, when they get to know the sensations, like, ooh, I'm feeling really flushed, feeling hot. Okay. I'm feeling agitated. Oh, okay. So from the sensations, they'll come up with the feeling or the emotion. And then also include the head. It is part of the body. It's, though, if they're just the head and they're trying to control everything, but allow them first to be aware of what they're thinking, okay? I'm thinking people are really unpleasant. Well, how does that affect you? Well, it's okay. I'm not asking you to buffer it. I'm saying, how does it affect you when they're so unpleasant? Well, you're making a fist. Yes, so how frustrated are you with that? Oh, I'm really frustrated, right? Or, oh, I'm not frustrated. Oh, yeah, you just made a fist, you clenched your mouth. That looks angry. How are you feeling now? Last resort, when people claim they don't feel, I say, well, if I walked across the room and slapped you across the face, would you feel that? I said, of course I would. And I said, and would you just be like so numbed out, not angry, not happy, not sad? No, I'd be pissed. Okay, so now we can talk about them. Because the feelings are the fuel. That's what keeps the code of Jupiter running. That's what gives us the desire and the motivation. We'll talk about more about that in the next webinar too. The importance of emotions. Does that help you guys in any way with non-feeling resistances? Is that just remember, these people do feel. Now, what you might need to say is, hey, in corporate, yeah, feelings get a bad rap. But when you go home, you love your partner, you love your kids. Your kids annoy you. Do they sometimes make you feel happy and proud? Or are you a complete zombie at home, in bed, when you have sex, when you eat, when you are constipated, you just feel nothing? I've done that with clients. Go, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. I said, yeah, you're getting annoyed with me. Man. It's like, you are activated. So I just explained, you may just not be aware. This is why I make you pay attention to your sensations. Or the other is, if I name the feeling, one client said to me, if I name the feeling, then I'm going to feel so much. And I don't know if I'll be able to control myself. So there is a lack of resilience. So then I say, well, let's plug you into some resilience, and then let's name what you're feeling, even if you get it wrong. But name something. Sometimes I'll just say, how are you feeling? Happy, sad, or angry? Let them choose. How are you guys doing with this? Why don't I do a short, I just want to show various ways we can work with a resistance, how you can bring back resilience. We'll just we'll debrief it some more, and then I can give you more tips on various forms of resistance, how to handle it. Okay. Would somebody like to offer themselves up as a client? I think I'm going to limit this to 10 minutes of work. And you can particularly bring in something that you know you're struggling with, something you've been resisting. It could be simple, it could be complicated, doesn't matter. But something where you're already feeling like,
Yeah, I would like to volunteer as Marian.
Marian, okay.
Yes.
We can do it. I don't have a visual on you, so this will be interesting because people will say, how do you work with resistance over the phone? Okay, well, here you go.
No, I couldn't join via the video. I don't. Maybe my phone is not enough battery. Really.
Well, are you going to last? Do you have enough? You're going to last for the next few several minutes?
I could dial in with another phone, maybe.
Why did you volunteer, Marian? Why did you volunteer? What made you want to?
Because I'm in a situation which is a little building up resistance, meaning that I have taken a sabbatical and I'm now in Germany. And I took the decision to come back to Paris in 10 days, and I feel some resistance.
Resistance to come back?
Yes.
Okay, fine. You know, we've started, Marianne. Let's continue. Are you okay with that?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So, Marianne, don't go. What happens to you when I say that? She said, don't go to Paris. Don't. Cancel it.
Don't. But I took the decision to go.
Okay, now that part of you that says, I took the decision, I want you to connect with that part, okay? What was the original thrill to take the decision?
What was the riddle?
What was the original thrill to take the decision?
To go back or to take the spot?
Well, did you make a decision to go back to Paris or not?
Yes, yes, I took that decision, yes.
Okay. Now, why?
Given the circumstances at the time I took the decision, I thought it would be the best thing to do for me, okay. To try it out.
Now, you're going to try it out, okay. Now, let me ask you, what is it you want from me in these 10 minutes? What is it that you want for yourself? Like, what are you going for here?
I'm going for exploration. I'm going for a try.
Okay. So now let me see if I got this straight. You are coming to Paris anyway. Is that correct?
That's the plan.
Are you going to cancel?
Well, there's the job waiting for me there.
Do you want the job?
For the moment, I have no other choice.
Oh, well, then no wonder you're resisting.
Why I resist?
Yeah.
Because I have to work for someone for whom I originally left. Okay. And I didn't know that.
Okay, now, what's making you laugh right now? I'm hearing some laughter.
Because I have the impression I left in the hope that time will go by and things will evolve. And I see myself coming back in a situation that possibly may be the same. So I build up resistance. Oh, my God.
Now, what I want you to do is feel that resistance. You're building up this, like, ooh, if I go back and it's exactly the same, right? You're actually using energy to protect yourself. Does that make sense?
Yes. So I feel like warned, you know? I feel like warned.
Yes. So what we're doing here is say, that's natural. Of course you have a fear that this might be exactly the same. I don't want to walk back into the same situation again. So what I'm saying for you now is let yourself protect off right now, for this moment. Feel what that feels like. Are you still there? Or did I lose her? I think I lost her. Okay.
Much resistance.
Yeah. Dropping out. Oh, she'll find another phone, I'm sure. Okay, that was what, like 4 minutes. Now, what were you already noticing? Okay, some of you might think, oh my God, that's so direct. Maybe not, but I was showing already various ways. Now it's a little premature, but I would like to continue a little longer. But what were you seeing? What were you picking up on?
You're direct, and yet you don't engage. So you're direct, but you're not, there's no intention of going anywhere. You're just provoking and working with what's there.
Yes. Why am I doing this? Is also, this is just the beginning. I really want to see what she's invested in. Why is she bringing this topic to the table? I'm poking around and pushing buttons, right? And all I'm looking for is, how does she respond to it? The very first thing, well, I'm coming back to Paris. Well, don't go. If you're resisting it, don't go. I want to see what's her level of desire. I want to see where she is at choice or not at choice. You see, sometimes people are resisting just because they're judging themselves so strongly. So I want to see where they're at. Anything else that you want to highlight or point out?
Well, you also normalize the resistance.
Yes. Now, why is that important?
So she's not fighting the resistance. She's experiencing it and she can shift it to a non-judgmental approach.
Right. So if I normalize in that, so I'm saying, hey, you know, well, no wonder you're resisting because you're fearing something. Great, that normalizes it. So she's not aggravating the judgments of herself, right? And saying, okay, resistance, this resistance you're experiencing is normal. Now, where I was going to go next was, she feels like she has to protect herself. Well, it takes energy to protect yourself. Where I would go now is what does that feel like as you...
Hello, I'm back, sorry.
Hi, great, well, you're back.
Hi, I quit for a moment, sorry.
Okay, we were debriefing a little moment for a little bit while you were disconnected. Now you're back. Now, I'm just going to ask, the background noise, is that right, Marianne?
Sorry, there was an airplane.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Bye. Now, how are you currently feeling? You just connected back. How does that feel to be back?
Yeah, well, I feel be part of the community again because the other phone quit me, so I tried to reconnect to the community.
Okay, now, so you are reconnecting right now to the community. So in a way, I'm not talking about your topic here, but I'm just using what's currently happening. What does that feel like to be part of the community again, to reconnect?
Well, I feel the connection. It's I like to be connected with you again.
Okay. And what are the sensations you're feeling as we're connecting now?
As I feel to be part of the group, not isolated.
Okay. So if you're not isolated, what are you?
I'm connected.
Connected. What is that like to feel connected?
It feels good. It feels good.
Okay. That good feeling. Connect with that good feeling. And how does that feed you? What does it give you?
How does this... It gives me some kind of, I mean, I don't know anybody, but it gives me some kind of support.
Yes.
Some kind of thinking being part of a family.
Yes.
Somehow. Yep. Even some part of brain connection.
Now, you have that, you're a part of a family. You have this brain connection. Which part of your body feels most activated with those thoughts? Which part of your body feels like it's responding to this?
solar plexus, I would say.
Great. So if you want, you could place your hand on your solar plexus, or just, it helps to drop all your awareness into the solar plexus, okay? And when you're inside that solar plexus, what is it like to live from that place? What is the special quality you feel in there?
It's a kind of excitement.
Uh-huh. Okay, and what is that excitement giving you?
Some tension and some, you know, some adventure.
Okay.
No, like in the beginning of a maybe of a trip, you know, you have this little excitement to go for a journey. You don't know exactly
what
will come to you.
What is coming alive in you now as you connect with adventure, excitement, going on a trip? What strengths are
quality? I have some Indiana Jones feeling.
What is it?
Indiana Jones in the Temple of, okay. I don't know what.
Indiana Jones, great, okay. Now, allow your whole body to even start taking on that posture of Indiana Jones. The whole source is your solar plexus, and then how does that affect the rest of your posture? What do you notice?
So I feel the adventure, but I know I'd rather be careful because you don't know
what
food you will get to have. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Okay.
I'm a little bit careful, yes, but I'm adventurous, but I'm careful.
Okay, great. What we have now is a polarity that's shown up, right? So I could have some risk, some adventure, like in Indiana Jones, but I need to be careful. I need to be safe and secure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you this question. When you reconnect to Indiana Jones, just this simple excitement in your soul, being a part of the family, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Feels permanent in you, like this is something nobody can take away from me.
The allies.
Mm-hmm. You
see, I have the impression I have some allies around.
Okay. So you have allies, all right? Notice how
yes.
that feels.
Uh-huh.
How that fills you up when you have allies, okay? What is the special quality inside yourself? Like, what does that bring you?
And for each step I move forward, I have an ally next to me.
Okay.
That's the way it feels.
Okay, so mm-hmm. you have an ally next to you. Now, how would you describe how you feel inside? Is it that you feel grounded, supported, where you have strength? I mean, what are the allies giving you?
To move on step by step, but I'm not running. I step,
okay.
another step, and when I need, I can take the advice of an ally.
Okay, so now what ability do you possess now when you take one step at a time, step by step? What enables you to take each step?
The reassurance that I'm not alone.
Okay, so you have reassurance. Notice how that feels inside. I am not alone.
Mm-hmm. I'm not alone.
What's it like to say that?
I'm not alone.
What is it like for you to say those words?
It gives them stable, I feel more stable and more secure.
Okay, so allow yourself.
I need to go to the temple by myself.
So, yeah.
But I don't feel alone.
Okay, great. Enjoy what that feels like. I have stability. I am not alone. And I can mm-hmm. go to the temple by myself. Like, those are your
mm-hmm.
words.
Yes.
What is it like to know that that is always a part of you?
Mm-hmm.
What is it like to know that?
It gives you reassurance.
So you have reassurance.
Give some shelter. Yeah. Shelter.
Shelter. Okay. Now, where is that living in your body? Is it still solar plexus or has it moved anywhere?
More in the legs now because I was standing up and I was walking, you know, step by step.
Great. Great. So it's good.
And I feel it now more in my legs.
Great. So enjoy that energy and feeling in your legs. And you can connect it up into the solar plexus. You can even let it lift all the way up to your head. So your whole body is feeling that quality of stability. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Those allies that were surrounding you, let them dissolve and disappear. And what do you discover in yourself?
Well, I'm still standing.
Great. Now, just that much. All my allies have gone. I'm still standing. What is it like to experience that?
It gives a lot of self-confidence now.
Okay. What is different in you now?
I mean, I took all the information, everything the allies could give to me, and I it's like if I absorbed it all in me.
Okay.
It's all now in me.
Now, what will have you remember that it is now all in you, and at this point forward, you are the creator of that energy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The allies maybe started it or triggered it, but now it's all absorbed in you, okay? How will you access that every day in yourself?
A kind of wisdom.
Okay.
Inner wisdom.
Okay.
I would act with inner wisdom.
Now, with that inner wisdom, and that's not going away, that is something permanent in you, and you can continue to feed that every day, remembering mm-hmm. that I still stand, I walk one step at a time, I have my legs. Now, what does it feel like to come back to Paris in 10 days?
Mm.
What just happened?
I come back with this inner wisdom. I'm quite, what's the English word for lucid?
Okay, lucid.
Clear.
Yeah. Clear.
Lucid?
Yeah.
Clear.
And
clear, but not naive. Uh-huh.
Ah, so you're not naive this time. Okay, you've got a wealth of experience behind you.
Yes.
And what's it like to walk back into the situation knowing it could be exactly the same as it was?
I feel more prepared, maybe. Yeah, more prepared.
Okay.
Stronger.
Okay. Now.
And I know I can take a step back if I need to.
All right. Now you have choice and freedom. You can take a step back. You can take a step forward. You can step back in.
Yes.
So
yes.
The thing is, how is coming back to Paris actually teaching you something?
Teaching me something?
Yeah.
Teaching me that I have the choice, like on a chess, you know, like in chess,
mm-hmm.
I can take different steps.
Okay.
Sideward, backward, forward. I feel that I can I'm not.
Well, you are the queen. The queen moves everywhere, anywhere on that chess.
Exactly.
You're not a pawn.
Yes, I can move. Yes, I'm not. They are not moving me, you know.
Okay.
I have the choice to move myself.
Okay. So what
step
has...
Step by step, I can make another move. Mm-hmm.
Great. So final question. What has now been released in you?
Some flexibility.
Great. Great. So now you have flexibility. You've released that. It's active. Thank you very much, Marion.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Alexander just messaged you gotta go. That's fine. You'll get the recording, so you'll hear the end of the call anyways. That's great. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. So just observations from you guys. So there was initial resistance, and then sometimes the resistance came back. But what I'm doing is keep bringing the client back to resilience, resilience, resilience. They're going to go away, and then they come back. I bring them back, and they're going to go away, and I bring them back. But every time we come back into resilience, it gets stronger. She gets more clear, right? In the beginning, she wasn't too clear about what she's feeling, but by the end, she got very specific with herself. So let it happen. That, you know, in the beginning stages, you need to have patience and persistence with yourself to allow them to have those various forms of resistance. Trust that they will find resilient sparks, highlight those. If they go back to resistance, just think, well, resistance is the air we breathe, right? We don't necessarily breathe resilience all the time. We're always breathing resistance. But the more you bring them back to resilience, they learn how to breathe that air. But the process, they're going to want to go get, oh, I need some of that old resistance. Oh, now I can breathe. Back to resilience, it's like being underwater. And they don't realize that they can actually breathe underwater until they actually take ownership of the resilience. I'm creating this. This is me. Right? When they have that, then they're fine to stay there. Observations from you guys and also questions, because we can debrief this. I tend to talk too much a lot, so either what you thought was fascinating, or what you had questions about, what felt mysterious, or...
Yeah, I have a question.
Yeah.
So you masterfully used the fact that she got disconnected and then had to come back and took her into the present moment, and that present moment she was feeling good. So I think that was the first spark of resilience. And I was wondering if that hadn't happened, how would you have gotten the corner?
Here's the way EED works is, whatever is happening, we will go from A to B. And there's 1,000 ways we can get there, but the A and the B, the start and the finish, it's already there in the beginning. I talked about that in the last webinar, that we work with fractal processes, like with little micro repeating patterns. Both the question and the answer are right there in the first minute. It just takes a while to unfold it. And we can either unfold it really quickly and directly, or it's going to be a long meandering pattern. So every moment presents you with options, and then you just follow through with one option or another. So yes, she got disconnected. She comes back 3 minutes later. I'm using that as an opportunity to see what happened. Also, I trust that she met with lots of resistance, you know, oh my God, you know, my battery's running out. I got to get the other phone. I got to dial back in. Like, she's using strength and resilience to get back on the call. So I want to capitalize on that, right? And then I can apply that back towards the topic. That's my long answer to the question. Use what's currently happening. There are no accidents and there are no mistakes. Anything else there? I'm trying to see.
Question for you, Troy.
Yes.
So last week, obviously the topic was resilience, and the demonstration spent a lot of time helping the client get connected with resilience. It didn't seem like you only spent a fraction of the time this time, and she was very much able to connect in with that resilience. Once you kind of found that resilient spark and she kind of owned it, you didn't have to do much to kind of, you know, help last time. You're playing with the energy around and all. So obviously part of your choice was, I'm trying to keep the time short. Is there some decision matrix that you're playing through to decide when is the client ready to take this resilience and face the resistance? Or like,
I think it's actually more around, I'm allowing her to resist. I want her to feel her resistance without judging herself or making herself wrong and without trying to fix it, so that she can get to know what the strength is underneath. She's using a strength and an energy. So I first will point out, okay, so either the client or I are going to point out there's resistance here. We're not going to fix it. We're not going to take it away, but let's get into a mode of first accepting the resistance, then being able to enjoy it, because that is going to get them back to core strength. And that's how you flip it into resilience. In a way, if I allow my client to resist with awareness, they're going to get to resilience way faster, because the resistance actually accelerates the process. So sometimes I do encourage, like, hey, have a fight with me. You really want to fight? Let's fight it out. And I want to know what you're using in yourself to be able to fight. What's it like to know that you can push back hard? Right? That takes strength. When they have that realization and they realize, ooh, that came from within me, didn't come from some outside trigger, it came from me. That's when we're plugging them into a resilience that will not go away. And this is what I was focusing on in the last few minutes of this demo was, I mean, it started like, okay, when I have allies, I feel okay, great. But if I leave it at that, that's conditional and dependent, right? I want to bring that back. What's the feeling that the allies bring you? I want you to internalize that. Now realize that you are creating it. You are producing it. You yourself came up with the idea of allies. You yourself imagine those allies around you, right? So you are the creator of it. A lot of
Troy, in the beginning you said, don't go. In the very beginning, I was a little bit shocked because you said, oh, just don't go.
Yeah.
So you invited me to flee.
Exactly. I did. And because I'm sure you thought about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's bad. Well, and then I get the response. You see, that's an example of aggravation, right? Call the bluff. Because the client, she said, should I go? Shouldn't I go? Well, I was supposed to go. Well, I agreed. Yeah. Oh, if only I couldn't go. They're thinking those things. So bring the thoughts out into the open, onto the table, but make it clean, direct, 100%. What happens is it calms them down. They're like, oh, thank God. I can actually voice that without feeling judged, right? So sometimes you gotta look at that like a venting process. But I'm also looking at, so if she says, fine, I won't, I say, okay, what energy are you using to say that? What does that feel like? It's always a path back to the resilience. No matter what response you get, there's always resilience behind it. So don't pay attention to the drama and the narrative. Pay attention to the energy they're using to say or do whatever's happening. Is this making sense to you guys? It's a different orientation. What are you guys taking away from the call? I know this is a big subject. There's a lot more we could be covering. I may need to offer a part two on this. I don't know, but we'll see. But what are you taking, and what feels useful for you? Like what do you feel inspired to try out or use?
For me, it's normalizing and accepting the resistance. Instead of me taking the choice of bypassing it or, I felt it was very powerful to say, no wonder you're resisting going to Paris.
Right. It's nothing, it's not bad, it's nothing to fix, and it's not your fault, right? Because some coaches are like, oh, my client's being resistant, there must be something wrong with me, I must not be doing my job properly, right? Just let it go. Resistance is a sign that there's a great strength at work which can become resilience. Mm-hmm. Look at it that way, it's much easier to embrace. Who else? What else? Oh, you're talking, Brian. I'm just going to unmute you there. There. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Thanks. Sorry, I apologize because I'm looking past you sometimes to take care of my son. kind of very passively. Kudos to you, man. I need to go back and look at the recording. There was so much I got from that again and again, my experience with you. Tapped into a lot of that for me. Being more direct, I think I like that idea of just how iterative you are, you know, in the way that you come back to resilience and how you touch on it. And every time resilience shows up, you're so specific about, you know, like you're saying isolate, you're saying, you know, what's that laugh? And you're catching those, like, you're really grabbing those little pointing pieces, and it just inspires me to, even just in my day-to-day, to pay more attention to that, so that then I get trained myself to just be more aware, so that I can really use that as more of a tool, because I watch you do it so naturally, and I just, I'm always so impressed.
Great.
Inspired.
Well, one tip I have, and this is for all of you, when you see a spark, those sparks are very short-lived, right? They'll come and go so fast. So grab it, you can articulate it, have them connect with it. What's the experience of that spark? What's now in their awareness? But stay longer building that connection with the spark before you try and get wisdom out of it or action out of it. Because one reason why clients will disconnect or say, I don't know, is because they haven't built a strong connection yet. It's well worth spending 3-4 connection-oriented questions, then ask what's possible, what's available, or what can you do? Okay? Many coaches asked. Yeah?
You're talking about connection, again, with themselves or with their own resilience. Right, right.
Yeah, their own resilience, their own experience, like, let them connect with both experience and awareness.
Mm. Yeah. Cool, man.
So that's how I was developing it. And the more I strengthen that, reinforce that connection, the more she's going on her own, right? Less work I have to do.
Yeah.
Who else?
I really loved how you were helping her to take full ownership of that resilience.
That is very key. So, and I'm more and more spending time to make sure that they are owning it and that I'm not doing the work for them, because I don't want to create a codependency, because as soon as I go away, so does their strength, at least in their mind. But when they take it back in, re-internalize it, and they anchor it for themselves, right? And I'll remind them, hey, you created this, right? More lasting, more sustainable. I might even test it by trying to take it away from them and see how they get affected. And the resilient response is take as much as you want. It's permanent. It's always there. That's the resilient response. If you try to grab it back, there's still something not plugged in. So then you have them own it even more. That's great. Who else? Or was there anything else you wanted to comment on or say, Annabelle? Sorry.
I'll just say that I think was one of the most interesting things that you raised. You just mentioned the idea of actually when the client is talking about something that they're feeling brings them resilience, what do we take it away? What if that's gone? You've got those allies around you. What's left when they're gone? What's it like to actually be fully alone? Oh, I've got that. So I like that idea of, okay, let's keep taking things away and see what's remaining, and kind of don't just rely on, oh, you've got your allies, you're good. Okay. But what if we take it all away? What's left?
That's right. When there is resilience, there is no need, there is no fear. Therefore, you can take everything away and they're still permanent and timeless. Mm-hmm. They're not on that polarity swing anymore. And if they do get back on that polarity swing, they now have freedom, choice, options, because they're plugged in. It's just like Marion was saying, well, I can take a step forward, I can take a step back, right? But when she's plugged into that permanent aspect of herself, she's not taking a step forward or back out of reaction, need, or fear. This is, I can, because I can. That's a very different feeling. It's a very different orientation. What EED does is, because we're focusing on the resilience and the reconciliation part, and we embrace the resistance, the client can do exactly the same actions. They can go exactly forward the way as planned. They are in a totally different orientation. That's it. And it's neutralizing need and fear. It's basically what we're doing. Anyone else? I know we're a little bit over time here. I just want to see if anyone hasn't spoken yet, just to give you an opportunity before we take them away. If there are any remaining questions. And like I said, you get the recording as well. So Nina or Birgit or Carmen or Marion, any Rasha, any final words here? Love to hear what you're walking away with.
So I find the thought about need very interesting, because I actually came across it recently a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, in discovery sessions where I was mining for values, where then afterwards I was thinking, is that really a value or is it a need?
That's right.
And so, yeah, I love to think about that more.
Think about it. Yeah. that's, again, like the false resonance, right?
Mm.
If your client is clinging to a value, it's not a true value. It's not resilient,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We talk a lot about, all of this stuff we're talking about, it comes in module 2, where we're dealing with polarities, resistance, dealing with need, fear. We spend a lot more time, and we spend 3 days on this, working with it. So. But simple tip is, if they've got this value, they could be really excited about it, but if you take it away and they have to grab it back, they're not in a resilient place. It's like they're using the value to fill the emptiness,
mm-hmm.
the need or the fear. Do like what I did in the demo. What does this value bring you? What are the qualities that come alive inside you? And make it more essential qualities, permanent qualities. I worked on that in the last webinar. So when you can, I'll send you the recording, Birgit.
Okay, thanks.
Then it's not the value anymore. The value is just the doorway to the essence. See, then they don't have to cling to the value, because they know how to activate the permanent qualities in themselves. Values are then just doorways or reminders, okay? But if I have to live according to my values, that becomes conditional. Take it away and I'm lost. I've lost my foundation. So it's a false resonance.
Yeah.
Troy, you just blew my mind. I'm going to be chewing on that one for a while.
You'll have to listen to the recording again to reabsorb that. I'm channeling.
Troy, can I have the recording too of webinar of the first one?
Sure. Yeah, I can send that to you, Annabelle. Yes, no problem.
Thanks.
Yes, I'll have to note that. Okay, good. Let's say 2 minutes. Bettina, Rasha, what's left for you that you take away? I know you've heard this stuff before, but maybe not in the same way.
No, it's Bettina. Thank you very much. It's again seeing how ED works and trusting more and more in the process that ED works. Personally, I found that in this demonstration, for me, resistance, it's something very diffuse, but with the embodiment work especially, it got quite clear. And for me, it was the crucial step to build up the resilient part. But it's just my impression.
Well, you bring a good point. Resistance is usually a mental thing, but you bring in the physicality, bring in the experiential part of it, and you will diffuse resistance quite quickly. It converts quickly into resilience when it is felt and physicalized. Resistance goes on and on and on in circles if it just stays in the mental, philosophical, conceptual level. So you've got to bring in the whole body. That's why we call module 2 embodying essence. Right? So, you know, the essence flows through you in a full embodied state. And if the resistance shows up, it's going to bring you back to essence when you're fully embodying the energy. Yeah.
That was, again, an eye-opener. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Rasha, and then there was Busha as well, if you had any final words.
For me, it was very, with the embodiment, it came very clear for her where what the resistance was or why, and that shift, it's I don't know, it's magical.
It can be very quick, yeah.
Yeah. And it makes you realize it's not that big, it's not that hard. It's just about really kind of having them in that essence, and it all kind of like crumbles and there's clarity.
There is. The more I'm doing this, and the more this develops, these techniques, you don't need to spend a lot of time with resistance. It's actually quick, and you catch resilience and you put more emphasis on returning to resilience. The resistance neutralizes. And then maybe there's a 2% left. That's the necessary resistance that's most important for the creative process. The rest, 98%, is just unnecessary smokescreens. I know we're over time. If anyone does have to go, you know, please go. Marianne, what are you walking away with?
No, I think I have anchored a lot of pictures, or I need to anchor them more, because we had a lot of visualization through the body and through the mind. And all in all, the conclusion, I think if I anchor it regularly,
yeah,
I may remind it. I may remember it and recall it.
Yes.
I'm not sure if it's now already stable enough to overcome the resistance, but if it comes back.
Yeah.
I think I need to train or repeat the conclusion. Or the yeah. End feeling.
As something final to leave you guys with, it's so important that your client is accessing their resilience daily, and they don't need to put pressure on themselves to do the big thing, right? It's like a new muscle they build. So get daily access with very little challenges. You don't need them to be suddenly like, oh yeah, I want you to go to Paris and take Paris by storm. No, It's not even about Paris. It's about accessing that part of yourself where you feel your legs and you know you're not alone, right? And you get, it's a new energy and you just reinforce it, keep reinforcing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a, you know, the seed that sprouts, it needs to take root and it needs to get a thicker and thicker stem, grow more mm-hmm. and more leaves. Then you can expose it to the bigger things. That, but in the beginning, mm-hmm. you want to be very protective of it first, because the resilience yes. is new. So just
it's new. Yes, it's new.
Yep.
And I should not forget it. So I need probably to anchor it with a figure of the chess, or because you said you're the queen.
Yes.
No. You can move everywhere.
You've got lots.
I need to take this on. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I need to, you know, take this discipline to anchor it.
Yeah. Great. Excellent. Well, thank you everyone for your participation in the webinar. It seemed too short. So much to cover. I will send you all a thank you email. Most of this work is, we introduce a little bit of it into module one, and then module two does a full focus on working with resistance and polarities. So check out the information on the courses. And module two is coming in the fall to Paris, Munich, and Toronto. And that's in October in Paris, October 13th, and it's October 6th in Munich, and it is December 15th in Toronto. But you have to take module one before you take module two. And those start in September and October. Say it again?
When is it coming to Dubai?
I don't know. I don't think it's going to come back in the fall, but definitely in the spring.
Okay.
I can send you an email on that anyways, Rasha. Yeah. I'm going to say thank you to all of you. And then if you want to hang out, if you got more questions, I'm fine to hang out. I'm just going to stop the recording. So thank you, everyone. It was a